2020-089 HVAC maintenance, found on page 229.
I lost my place. Public Works is requesting to award this bid to two vendors, D. Larson and Sons and Casana HVAC, in the amount of $20,000 for a one-year period.
James, where'd James go? James? Thought this was gonna be easy, huh? Come on up to the mic. Tell me what buildings are being addressed in Parks and Recreation's building maintenance for $10,000?
So this is kind of a, it was sort of a gray area, so this had been bundled into the DPW bid. So previously, had we needed maintenance, and there's two, the next bid is the HVAC specific to the compressors that make the hockey rink go, the chillers and everything. So this one would be for like the boilers and things like that, McDermott Pool, and in the ice rinks. So the $10,000 is what we kind of figured out, is just like, you know, worst-case scenario. We hope we don't have to use any of it, because Matt, Director Solitro, has the HVAC position posted. Hopefully, it's something that if there is a problem, we're doing in-house, and we cannot actually outsource it to, or backcharge it to DPW. But $10,000 is just kind of the safe number, and I hope we don't have to use very much of it.
Okay. Is any of that $10,000 for the Cooper Building?
Yes, the Cooper Building would be included in that for...
What's included for the Cooper Building? Is it the portion of the building that is occupied by the city or by the current occupant?
Well, it's a city building per the lease agreement with the Army. So the Cooper is a city building.
A lease agreement with who?
With the National Guard. So when the Army became under the city, it was granted to us for recreation. So the Parks and Rec Department is in the Cooper Building. We have our offices in there, and the Boys Club does use the Cooper Building for their after-school programs, as does Warwick Powell for lacrosse in the winter, for cheerleading, for wrestling, as does the Police Explorers Program that's been there this summer. So there's different groups in there. It's a city building. The Boys Club and other groups do use it.
Do we have a lease for that building?
There was a lease done for usage with the Boys Club under the previous administration. It was for $1 a year, and it had two rooms that the Boys Club invested money heavily in that are dedicated exclusively for them, one of them being the music studio, and the other, I believe, being the yoga studio. Then there's some other common rooms that they'd use, and they've spread out in, but those rooms the city has the right to use as well.
So that's an approved lease?
The lease was defined approved, Chairman?
A lease of a city building is approved by the City Council?
I don't know. This lease predates my time with the city. I don't know if that lease ever went before the City Council. You would know better than I. And that's, you know, if that's something you want to revisit, that's in your purview.
Fair enough. Could you get us a copy of that lease?
I'll email it to you tomorrow morning, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Christie, a question on the two bidders. So explain to me the rationale for those two bidders, please.
We are requesting two bidders. With the amount of infrastructure that the Public Works Department is responsible for, should one vendor not be available to send a technician out, it gives us an option, particularly when it comes to heating and cooling issues, to have another vendor come in and make a repair. they are extremely close in price, the two vendors that we're requesting.
And being that hold on 1 minute. Is there a particular reason why you're listing Lawson first as opposed to Kasana? No reason? Have you ever had a need to call another vendor because one couldn't respond?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
For what building? Or buildings?
Matthew Salito, Director of Public Works for the City of Warwick. Actually, during the recent months, I personally have had to call 4 to 5 vendors because of the backlog. As you know, as soon as the heating season comes, your boiler goes down. As soon as the summer comes, your AC goes down. So this is in an effort to make sure that the buildings are up and running for the public and for the staff with the two. But I can tell you firsthand that I have called multiple people that I know are professionals and trying to get them over there.
And Matt, how many buildings are you responsible for this HVAC?
The HVAC would be, aside from James's buildings, it would be 36 buildings in the city.
36 buildings?
Roughly 36 buildings,
okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be, speaking for me personally, this is going to be one of those instances where I will support the two vendors for all the reasons you said, and taking it a step further, not all of us may have experience in construction on this council, but we all kind of help each other with different experiences we have. And I do have experience with construction, and I do know how difficult it is to get HVAC people and plumbers and electricians to respond. And it can be very difficult. And it is for those reasons that I will support the two vendors that you're proposing here. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
And Director, you have gone out with a job posting to have someone in-house, if we could find someone?
Correct. For the last approximately 18 months, we've advertised outside, in-house and out, to get somebody. We actually increased the salary to something we felt was more suitable for an outside person. And had three individuals respond, and none of them could or did pass the test, I should say, for HVAC. So we're in the process now of going back out in-house and out-house as well, and looking for a person with a bunch of general knowledge that can fix these, and at some point, maybe the two vendors, if they get awarded tonight, would have to pick up where their skill level, you know, kind of dies off. But not everything is a catastrophic failure. It could just be replacing a belt, diagnosing, things like that. So that person would be more of a utility person for my department. And also, I feel, in the long run, save a lot of money for the city. These HVAC people don't work for $10 an hour. They get some pretty good money. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman Sinapi.
Same question as before. Were the vendors at the specifications that were sent to but who did not bid, were they contacted as to why they did not bid?
I personally called several vendors, the same people that I called to do some emergency work in the city, and asked them why, and they said that there's just such a glut of work that they didn't have time to do it, which is unfortunate because they did good work. It just they didn't feel the need to take us on.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay. Any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Second.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Item 2020-094, HVAC maintenance for ice arenas, found on page 233.
James Scott, Director of Parks and Recreation. So with the bid for HVAC maintenance, when I came to the city of Warwick, one of the biggest looming problems was the conditions with the compressors at the ice rink. Prior to my coming here, you'd had a meltdown with where there's a Freon loss. Looking right out, examining this process, the flaw I identified, there was no premium placed on preventative maintenance. Essentially, under the previous bid, it was sort of like stuff would break and they'd come fix it. And when they come fix it after it breaks, it costs more for a number of reasons, because there's residual effects in other parts of the compressors. There's, the emergency calls, sometimes weekends, more overtime, things like that. But I looked at the process. I did a great deal of research. I had the manufacturer who installed the compressors back in either 02 or 03 come in and do a walkthrough, which is free of charge to the city. And they gave me some thoughts on the life cycle of machinery. Well, the life cycle of those can be about 20 years. It can go much longer if you do the proper maintenance to it. And it was sort of off pace from the manual that came with the machines at that point. I called every ice rink in the state. I found out who they used. I expanded the vendor list. Two of the three people who bid were new vendors on the list, North Star Refrigeration and American Refrigeration. So the bid was rewritten to have to be a successful bidder, you have to have a sort of a framework or an appendix showing how you're going to do a preventative maintenance plan. American Refrigeration submitted the lowest qualified bid, which included a preventative maintenance plan, where they'll be coming out on a schedule to do things. And their maintenance appendix includes a rebuild of one compressor per year. There's four compressors. The machines are supposed to be rebuilt periodically. So they'll do one per year as part of the routine maintenance, where previously we'd wait for that to break or be on the fritz, and that becomes much more expensive as a proposition because you're paying for emergency repairs. So it's my feeling that we'll be able to save cost in the long run by going this route.
Thank you, James, for your efforts with this. You obviously put in a lot of time on this. I do have questions, though. So in your position paper, you said, after analyzing the cost overruns from the previous bid for HVAC, the previous vendor, is that one of these three bidders?
Yeah, no, ESI did not bid this time.
Okay, so it's not one of, the cost overruns were not associated with any of these three vendors?
No, these are all new vendors. So ESI in the last 2 years, and I pulled my info earlier in August, so we haven't used them since then, but it's been 111 or 112,000 is the roughly amount we spent with them. That includes lots of emergency repairs. When I came in, we had a bunch of valves that were expired and things that weren't done on a routine thing, and I sort of felt that's the way the vendor wanted it, and it wasn't good enough for the city, and it's not good enough for the people that use our rink.
Okay, you're asking the committee to support your bid of $82,000. Of the $82,000, what is the breakdown between parts, materials, and labor?
So the labor rate only comes in effect with this bid if it is a...
No. $82,000 is your budget. Of the $82,000, how much do you spend on parts and materials, and how much of the $82,000 is spent on labor?
I don't have that exact percentage. So some of the parts are included in the upgrades and things like that, but I'd have to pull the entire appendix, get you the specifics on that.
Okay, but James, it's not a percentage so much. Oh, it could be. The reason I'm asking the question is my concern is supporting your request for American over North Star. And that's why I'm asking you, what of the $82,000, are we talking half of it is parts and material and half of it is labor? You know, where the scales tip? Because depending upon the direction of where the scales tip is going to have a major impact on whether I can support your request for American or I can't. And the big difference is the labor rates are different, I agree. But the big difference is in the cost plus. And cost plus, I'm going to assume, is on pots. And the cost plus difference. North Star is 15%. American is 50. That is a huge spread. So, unfortunately, without the information, I can't make a decision on this. Because I don't know who the best deal is. Because until you tell me how much money was spent last year on parts and materials and how much was spent on labor, I don't know who the better deal is. Because if your budget comes in 50-50, then American is not the best deal. Follow me?
I do follow you.
Okay.
And the, you know, the sort of the tipping point for my recommendation was that 50% of the bid score was presenting a preventative maintenance plan, which three people bid, only one bidder actually submitted that plan. But I completely understand where you're coming from on that.
And I get you. That was another one of my questions. So why can't North Star, you know, do the same preventive maintenance?
So
preventive maintenance is something that you are going to initiate and direct, just like I do in my own company, is we have preventive maintenance for equipment and trucks and whatever else the thing of it is, and I designate a certain person for that responsibility.
Yeah, and in both companies, I add North Star to the list. They came highly recommended as well. American was recommended by the manufacturer. North Star, Ryan Center had great things to say about them. So it's just they didn't submit. I had a call out to North Star. I spoke to American Refrigeration. I had a call to North Star. I didn't get a call back from them until like the day of the bid, I believe. So I wasn't able to communicate that to them, and they might have missed that in the bid. But I did attempt to reach out to multiple vendors to try to get them to submit that.
Okay. Again, I think you did a lot of work getting it up to this point, and I commend you for that. But from a business perspective, I'm very, very concerned when I see a weekend and holiday hours, hourly rate 135, North Star 292, American, overtime hours 135, North Star 219, American, normal hours 108 versus 146. You need to show me the numbers, because it's all about the numbers. And I need to know last year what you spent in materials and parts versus labor, because I don't, without that information, I don't know if American may be the best deal since sliced bread, but I don't know that because I don't have that information. I need to have those numbers. I'm speaking for myself. I don't know what my colleagues are going to feel, but I can't support this unless I know that line item. That is the crutch to this whole thing. Okay?
I'll have to get you that line item, Chairman.
Okay. Any questions? Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? I'm going to look for a motion to hold this until, what's the date? September 4th.
Motion to hold it September 4th.
Seconded.
And we have a PCR 124. 124-19, and the reason was we need to receive the numbers for materials and pots, the dollar numbers that was spent last year, in order to make a informed decision as to who the best deal is here. Okay, so we have a PCR 124-19. Give me a motion to hold till September 4th. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir.
I request a five-minute recess.
Sir, five-minute recess granted. It is now 8:45. We'll be looking for you at 8:50, Councilman. All right, everyone, thank you very much. The Finance Committee is back in order. Everyone, please come to order. Okay, we're back on the mic. Item 2020-088, found on page 237. Major?
The police department is requesting spending authorization for psychological testing services for police applicants pursuant to the provisions of 56.6. URI, Office of Strategic Initiative, is the sole source testing service for psychological testing of public safety applicants. All police applicants are required by Rhode Island General Law to undergo a psychological exam prior to admission to the Rhode Island Municipal Police Academy. The exams are conducted at a cost of $600 per applicant and include a multi-stage process by the URI psychologist. If approved, the funding, not to exceed $8,400, would come from budget code 30-335, medical examinations.
Thank you, Major. Major, what is the current status of the complement of the police department right now?
I believe we're currently at 170. Is that correct?
Colonel, I didn't want you to feel neglected.
Understand. Colonel Grathman for the Ward Police Department. Our current complement is 169 out of our allocated 175. We have the potential for additional retirements. Unfortunately, they're not often announced in advance, so I would look at potentially two or three more over the period of the contract. So we're looking at anywhere from 6 to 9 conservatively for that figure. But right now we're 169 out of 175 for our complement.
And you're looking for how many potentials, or possibly not looking for, but anticipating?
With the normal retirement of 2 to 3, based upon pension eligible, et cetera, I would say there'd be another 3. So that would put us at between 6 and 9, depending upon how that cycle works out.
So you're anticipating to be up to a full complement of 176, did you say?
175.
175?
That would be awesome, but realistically...
Well, I'm looking at these numbers that you got right
understood.
Here.
Understood, and we would love to get there, but again, it's the retirements that we don't anticipate. Additionally, we're running into issues with our pool of candidates, and this isn't just in Warwick. This is across the state and nation. They get into the academy, they pass the test, we get them ready to go, and in short order, they decide it's not for them. We've had an incident in this academy where someone washed out in week one. We can't forecast that. We do our best to screen, evaluate, and hopefully put our best product forward. So retention, recruitment issues come into play. Additionally, we need to do some tests for alternates because of that culture of the current generation entering.
Okay.
Unfortunately, so those are those factors I just can't give you. I could tell you what we're experiencing. But our number would be conservatively a 6 to 9 person just to get, not counting alternates.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Colonel. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Item 2020-106. City website, found on page 239.
Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 56.6 to award the web hosting and the site maintenance of the www.warwickri.gov website to Civic Plus in the amount of $4,500. This would go into effect on October 1st of 2019, carrying us for 1 year forward. The $4,500 represents a zero increase over last year's expenditure.
And this is a sole source provider?
It is a sole source provider.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 2020-107, Scott Breathing Air Compressor, found on page 241. Chief?
Assistant Chief Umbenhauer, Warwick Fire Department. Fire Department is seeking a 56-6 exception to bid for Scott Breathing Air Compressor testing and service. The Fire Department is required to conduct quarterly air quality testing and semi-annual maintenance on our breathing air compressors per NFPA standard 1989. There are two breathing air compressors owned by the city. Shipman's Fire Equipment is a single source supplier for 3M Scott Fire and Safety breathing air compressors and related equipment. Fire Department has been in communication with 3M Scott Fire and Safety and has confirmed that Shipman's Fire Equipment is the only vendor authorized to provide service and air quality testing on Scott breathing air compressors for the state of Rhode Island. Fire Department is requesting spending authority to perform semi-annual service and quarterly air quality testing on our two compressor units at a cost not to exceed $4,903.80. This will be paid through account 35340 service contracts. Current bid expires 8/24/19. If approved, the new bid will have an effective date of 8/25/19 through 8/24/20.
And the reason, Chief, for the late bid?
We are actually, as reviewing the specification for this bid, we're at a crossroads right now with Scott Fire and Safety. There were two vendors that were authorized in Rhode Island. There's three different things that you'll see two more come up later this year. The air pack themselves, the actual purchasing of the air packs, the service and maintenance of the air packs, and the service and maintenance on the compressors are all by Scott Fire and Safety. There were two vendors authorized. One of them was bought by a Massachusetts company, so they're no longer authorized in Rhode Island because they're a Massachusetts company. They have not yet gained authorization from Scott to do business in Rhode Island, but they expect them to be by the end of the year. So at the time when I wrote this exception to bid, they were the only vendor, and I couldn't hold off any longer. I tried to hold off as long as I could to be able to go out to bid, having more than one vendor to actually bid, but because of the expiration date, I had to put the 56-6 in. The other two, I'm hopeful I can get out to bid.
So how long ago was it when this other vendor left the state?
June.
It was when?
June is when they were bought out by the Massachusetts company.
Okay. And when did you go out for bid?
We didn't go out to bid for this. This is an exception to bid.
An exception.
So once okay. I talked to Scott 3M in July and confirmed that they were the only authorized vendor, that there no one else could bid on this, I put the 56-6 through.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. 2020-108, purchase rollout cots, found on page 249.
Public Works is requesting to purchase 240 rollout carts and 600 lids, 200 of each bin color, including freight, for a total amount of $21,352 under a 56-6.
Christy, I thought some time ago, several years ago, perhaps longer, that the city had done away with using three bins and we're only using two.
We do. We're only purchasing the green and the gray bins. We are requesting to purchase 200 of the lids for the blue carts because most households still have two carts. Two recycled carts, I should say, a green and a blue, and they still use them. So we need to be able to provide the replacement lids.
So, all right, so we have the What's the blue and the gray?
Blue, gray, and green.
And green. So what's the one we use the least of?
Well, I know in my house I can fill two recycle bins, no problem. But we just don't purchase the blue bins anymore. Everything's okay. Gray or green.
No, I'm just asking because it's saying that you're looking to to purchase 200 of each of the three colors of replacement lids and pins. I'm just needing to understand if we're predominantly using only two, then why do we need such a heavy inventory on the third?
You mean the 200 of the blue?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the 80,000 households in Warwick, I'd say probably 98% of them probably still have a blue bin that they still utilize.
Okay. So we still have a lot of homeowners using three
yes.
bins. Okay. All righty. So that's not an issue. If someone puts out three bins, we're going to pick it up.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second it.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Variable message board, item 2020-118, found on page 252. Major?
The department is seeking authorization to utilize Rhode Island DOT highway safety grant funding to purchase a message board under the provisions of City Ordinance 56-6, exception to notice. The message board will be used to educate the public on the dangers of impaired driving, used to notify motorists of road closures, and display other messages. The department is requesting spending authority to utilize this grant funding not to exceed $20,000, which was the awarded amount. If approved, the funding will come from Budget Code 32-227, Rhode Island DOT Highway Safety Grant Funding.
Major, are those like boards that we see with the flat, you're speeding
yeah,
and
the huge,
gotcha and whatever?
That's correct.
Yeah,
yep. We
great.
Have two,
okay.
So this will give us a third one.
And we also had one, I remember, I think it was a couple years ago, it kind of the same one got hit twice or something
yeah,
or other, hit and run stuff.
Yes.
One was a brand new one.
Yes.
Bizarre. You ever catch them? Or her?
I don't believe so.
No. Maybe we ought to put a reward out for those things. Okay, any questions on, go ahead, Councilman.
And Major, this is a grant, so it's 100% reimbursed by the highway safety grant funding?
That's correct.
Great, thank you.
Chief?
I received information that they've already approved and are processing that payment through. It's a little premature on their part, but we actually have the funds authorized and it'll be added to the account in advance. So it's unlike normal state operations, they actually approved it, and it's I can forward the email, but we're fortunate it's already in the account, so to speak.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Can we ask for another one?
Yeah.
Seeing as they were so gracious. Okay. I'll take silence as golden, Chief. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2020-119, vehicle lift repairs, found on page 266.
Public Works is requesting to have one of the vehicle lifts in the front garage repaired. It is currently not functioning as it should. We have, after much research, there's two vendors in the area that can do the work. We are requesting a 56-6 for the vendor with the best pricing in the amount of $4,161 to repair the lift.
Fair enough. Any questions? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Christy. 2020-120, DIM, yeah, whatever. We know the number, Major. Take it away.
The department is seeking authorization to renew the support contract for the department's digital information management system, DIMS, under Ordinance 56-6. The DIM system is used for the storage, management, retrieval of digital images, video, and computer forensics-generated evidence taken in the course of police investigations. The contract covers maintenance and warranties of the four workstations, the main server unit, and the backup server unit. The department is requesting spending authority not to exceed $7,000 to renew this contract. This will cover maintenance November 1st through October 31st, 2020.
And this is the sole source provider?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Major. 2020-126, Code Red Notification. Chief.
Colonel Rick Rothman, City MA Director. I'm requesting spending authorization to renew the annual service contract for the Code Red Reverse 911 phone system. It's provided by the vendor OnSolve Intermediate Holding Company under the provisions of City Ordinance 56-6. The Code Red system is utilized throughout the state of Rhode Island under the management of the Rhode Island EMA. The system has been used by the city since 2014 and has proven an invaluable resource for timely notifications of citizens during emergency incidents and weather events. REMA has entered an agreement with the sole source vendor to provide the Code Red emergency notification system to all cities and towns. REMA is invoiced for half the cost of the total to the service of the cities and towns, independent from the municipalities. Our annual cost of the system in the city of Warwick is $9,500, is the same amount as last year. They've level funded that, so to speak, to be paid by the city should the request be approved. If approved, the funding would come from budget code 34354, emergency management. The balance for the budget of code 34354 was $18,286.59 after encumbrance as of 1 o'clock this afternoon. The new contract will be 1 year period commencing on October 3rd, 2019 through October 2nd, 2020.
Thank you for making my job easy. Chief, I didn't have to go through this pile of paperwork here. Glad to see you. I haven't lost your touch up there at the podium. Any questions for the Colonel? This is also a sole source provider. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2020. Thank you, Chief. 2020-127, Cellebrite Certified Operator, found on page 277.
The department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization for a specialized training expense for two detectives. The training involved is for attendance at the Cellebrite Certified Operator and Physical Analyst Seminar being held in Norwood, Massachusetts. We have the Cellebrite software in-house and utilize it in every major investigation. This five-day course is in the examination of mobile devices. After successfully passing all the seminar exams, the detectives will earn their certification, which is required for courtroom testimony. The training is taking place September 23rd through September 27th. The cost is $3,850 per detective for a total of $7,700. If approved, funding will come from the training budget, budget code 30-302.
Major, this training that we're doing, is this training for newer officers?
It's actually for our transition period. So our CFU unit, computer forensic unit, has three members in it. Each of those three have 26, 27 years on the job. We're anticipating at some point they're going to retire, and because these certifications take 1 to 2 years to achieve, we wanted to start the process now. So the two detectives have 6 and 7 years on the job. So
okay.
They'll be able to move into that role seamlessly.
That goes to my question. And also, we always appreciate when the departments try to do what you can to get the training done locally, because the cost of travel and lodging, et cetera, is very expensive, and you have indicated here there is no associated cost for travel and lodging. So we're always happy to hear that. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 2020-128, criminal investigation costs, found on page 295. Major?
The department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization for a specialized training expense for one detective. The training involved is for attendance at the Criminal Investigation Scientific Evidence 1 and 2 being held at the URI College of Pharmacy, conducted by the Rhode Island State Crime Lab. Our plan is to send at least one detective per year to this training. This two-semester-long course teaches proper procedures for the collection, cataloging, preservation, and transmission of evidence, teaches crime scene photography, as well as lifting and examination of fingerprints. The training is taking place September 6, 2019 through April 3, 2020. It is held 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. every Friday for both semesters. The total cost of the training for the detective is $3,200 for both semesters and $300 for a textbook. The detective will commute there each day.
And this is a one-time purchase, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Major. Okay, I believe we're going to be starting on PCR 9417. Is that correct, Lynn?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jump to page. Okay, page one. PCR 11719, resolution relative to bids. Move on to PCR 11819, relative to abatements.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. This month we have abatements that total $105,000.83. I should add that 90% of these are exemptions that were applied for after the tax bills went out. But I'll answer any questions you have on individual items.
So, Director, 90% of these are abatements that
Exemptions
after taxes went out, right?
Correct.
So what do we do to inform members of the public that, you know, these different exemptions take place? We have senior citizens, we have veterans, et cetera, et cetera. What do we do on the city side to let the public know? Because obviously doing these abatements, they're expensive, and they change our fiscal position going forward. We certainly incurred millions of dollars worth of that with the previous administration. Has been much better, but this lends itself to the question, what do we do?
Well, the list of exemptions is on the back of the tax bills, but unfortunately that's a little too late for most people, so by the time they see it. I will say, because of the reevaluation this year, I think people were looking for a little bit more help. And they saw some increases in their bills, and they came forward and looked for exemptions, and we showed them what we had available. It's a good point. We probably could have a campaign to show what exemptions are available and get some information out in the public to help.
I mean, it just jumped into my head, and this is a speculation that we can continue with the city calendars. It might be something to post right on the cover of the calendar, not the one they put up against the refrigerator, but other places. I just think that a lot of our people, our senior citizens, our veterans, et cetera, are not aware that we have these exemptions in place.
Correct.
Through no one's fault, it's just sometimes it's hard to disseminate the information. Any questions, any further questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Sir.
At the request of Councilman Snappy, we need to pull one abatement off the consent calendar. It is the abatement of Michael E. Carlin in the amount of $317.49. The reference number is 10036, and he has submitted the appropriate recusal form. So we'll need a PCR on that.
12519.
Thank you. Okay, so any further questions from members of the council on the abatements? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we're going to take the PCR 118-19 with the exception of Michael Collin, and I need a motion.
Move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And on PCR 125-19, we need a motion on that.
Move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
PCO 719, Pension Board, we're going to hold that until, let's go to September 16th.
Motion to hold is September 16th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Rhode Island Telecommunication Service and Installation, it's PCR 9417, hold until September 4th.
Motion to hold is September 4th.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 148-17, formerly bid 2018-143, installation of sprinklers at Cooper Building, hold until September 4th.
Motion to hold is September 4th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Resolution, this is PCR 105-19, resolution to form a commission to study potential means of tax relief for Warwick residents via general exemptions for consideration relative to fiscal year 2021 and thereafter. Councilman Ricks. Not drafted.
September 4th.
At the request of the sponsor, hold till September 4th. I need a motion.
Motion to hold is September 4th.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 112-19, formerly 2019-277B, fire apparatus repair, additional vendor. Go ahead, Christy.
Public Works is requesting to add Coastal International as a vendor to the bid for the fire apparatus repairs. The request was to understand why we were wanting to add them. I did hope you received the email that I had sent.
I did. Yeah, it was one you sent the other day?
Yes.
Yes, I did get that.
Indicates the vehicles that would go there and the reasons why the next closest dealer for the Cummings and International engines is in Walpole, Massachusetts. So, Coastal can also take care of the balance of any warranty for the 2014 or newer, including the new rescue.
And again, I don't feel any different about this than I felt before, which is this is a bidder that didn't bid on this work in the first place. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And now they walk in the door, or we reach out to them and say, hey, listen, gang, you know, we need you to take care of these warranty repairs, these other repairs for us, when they never bid it in the first place. So my concern is, how are you going to control the costs of the repairs that they may do? That's my concern. I don't see anything in writing from them. Perhaps I missed it, but I don't see it. And I just need to be sure that we're not giving a blank check to this company to do these repairs, because we don't, or maybe you do. Do you know what their rates are going to be? And how does those rates compare to the rates of the people who did bid this?
What I can tell you is that we don't allow them to do any work until they submit. Well, to the automotive chief, then no work is authorized until we know how much it's going to cost. They do service with the list that I gave you, 7 rescues, 2 ladders, and 3 engines. We're very good about controlling our costs. I can certainly request their rate schedule for labor and submit that.
Chrissy, I think we need to do that.
Okay.
Because otherwise, we're just saying, go ahead, fix the truck, send us the bill. They'll send us an estimate, but if you don't like the estimate, what happens? You know, what do you do? I would feel more comfortable in supporting this particular vendor under these current circumstances, which I'm not pleased about at all, but at least we have some mechanism of control over what are they gonna charge us. Just like we do with the other vendors. We want to know how much per hour you're going to charge us to do the work. We want to know either how much you're going to mock up the cost of the pots or what discount you're going to give us off the list price of the pots you're going to use. I think that's a fair request. You? Yeah. You?
Sure.
Okay. And I understand your circumstances with this vendor kind of sort of being the only one to fix it. So, Christy, I'm going to hold it September 4th, okay? You have enough time to do that?
Yes.
I'm going to ask to hold this until September 4th to get us, all of us, including yourself, that information. Hourly rate, what the mock-up is on the pots over cost, and or what the discount is off the list price of cost. Then we're all covered. Okay, any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Motion to hold on September 4th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold on September 4th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 113-19, resolution regarding a 5-year plan. Council President Marola. Sorry? Okay. I need a motion for favorable action.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable action. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I think that's it, right? Okay. So that is all for the Finance Committee, and Finance Committee stands adjourned at 9:28. And at the request of the Council President, we are going to move into HEW. If you all relax and let me get through the statements, we'll get there slowly but surely. At the request of the Council President, we're going to move into the HEW Committee, and then. And after we finish HEW, we will turn the meeting over to Council President, and he will direct the order of items at that time. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The time is 9:29 p.m. Health, Education, and Welfare Committee is now open. Item number 1, PCO 3-18. PCO 3-18, Rocky Point, Ordinance to Protect the Rights of Private Property Owners, Councilman Lattiser.
Hold September 4th.
Motion to hold till September 4th. Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The time is now 9:29, and HEW is over. Closed.
Mr. President, we turn the council meeting over to you, sir. We turn the council meeting over to you.
Okay. No. Hold on. I think we should, I know there's some members of the public on claims. I think we should go right to public safety just because of the late hour so they can be heard. If we could jump right into public safety, Councilman Sinapi.
Works for me. So public safety will convene at 9:32 p.m. We have some holdovers from the last meeting. We got acceptance of minutes from the, well, or not, claim for one Nicole Botello. Is Nicole Botello here? Hi, make sure you got to speak close to that mic, unfortunately. Can you just identify yourself for the record?
Nicole Botello.
All right, and your claim is you hit a pothole on New England Way. You correctly filled out your affidavit. And your department recommends approval in the amount of $231.43. And it looks like you submitted three estimates. Does anyone on the committee have any questions? Councilman Ricks.
I see from the estimates that the lowest one is from Town Fair Tire in the amount of $211.16. And the way that the council rules work, we'd be able to reduce you, what am I saying, to reimburse you the lowest of the three. So I would recommend approval in the amount of $211.16.
Does anyone else in the committee have any questions? Does anyone on the council have any questions? Any members of the public have any questions? Do you have any questions?
Nope.
All right. Seeing no questions, we entertain a motion.
Move for favorable action in the amount of $211.16.
Seconded.
There's a motion made and seconded. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have a claim from Lori Ann Kane. Is Lori Ann Kane here? Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, miss. Can you just identify yourself for the record, please?
Lori Ann Kane.
All right, and it looks like you submitted a claim for pothole damage on Commonwealth Avenue. The department's recommending approval in the amount of $300. You submitted three invoices and your affidavit is filled out correctly. Does anyone on the committee have any questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Have at it.
Never mind, I don't see. Is DPW director here? In her notes it says pothole's still there. I was just going to ask if the pothole has since been fixed. Do you know it has? Good.
I called, I put a cone on top of it myself, and I called again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Ricks.
Pursuant to the City Council's rules regarding the lowest of the three invoices or estimates, I would move for favorable action in the amount of $239.99.
How much?
$239.99. That's the estimate from tirewarehouse.com.
I submitted that one. I thought it was $339.
Let's see. I see Town Fair Tire $307.59, Walmart $248.99, and Tirehouse or tirewarehouse.com
$239.99.
All right. Yes, that's what it says in the attachment. So a motion was made. Is there a second? Oh, valid point. Any other questions, members of the committee? Any other questions, members of the council?
Do they mail it?
And then any questions from members of the public, including you, miss?
Sorry. Do they mail it?
Is the money mail? Is that what you're asking?
Do they mail it? Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do I get $75 for the 3.5 hours I spent waiting? No?
I wish we could. Honestly.
If it's any consolation, I'm going to docket something that hopefully will address the long wait times for next time.
Thank you.
Seconded.
All right. Any questions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Nobody. The next is Barbara Flagg. she had to leave. But let's see if we can tackle it anyway. The department's recommending approval in the amount of $147.05. That's a pothole on Cuisa Road. She filled out her affidavit correctly. Does anyone think they have any questions on this one?
Let's see. I see actually four estimates that were provided. Well, one invoice plus three estimates. And I see that the three estimates are all lower than the invoice. It's our practice as the City Council to go with the lowest of the three. In this case, there were four, and I don't see anything, I'm not aware of anything in the rules that would require us to essentially punish someone by submitting a fourth lower one. Therefore, I would go with the third one, which is $84.99.
Is that a motion?
Unless the City Council solicitor thinks otherwise, I believe that it would be consistent with the City Council rules.
May I have an opportunity, Mr. Chairman?
Of course.
Thank you. Understanding what the councilman is saying, it is still within our charter that we go with the lowest given amount. But my question also to you, Mr. Chairman, is what is our policy? Are we understanding that we have flexibility? However, we have been requesting, and some people who actually have sat here for the entire meeting, waiting to have their voice heard and state their case. Is it the council's or the chairman's wish that we start approving claims without evidence or input, or do we consistently wait and have everyone here and present? I would feel comfortable holding this and giving the woman another opportunity to have her voice heard as the others who are waiting to speak in the claims have done.
So 2 points. One, that's part of why I docketed, or I'm going to be docketing something to address this. So I don't want to discuss it now because I don't think we're allowed to. Two, your point is both valid and fair. So there's nothing wrong with holding this because, frankly, that's equitable in how we've treated basically everyone else. Are there any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Hold until September 4th? Is it the 4th?
Yes.
Motion to hold till September 4th.
Second.
PCR 12619.
There's been a motion made to hold PCR 12619. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have Danilo Reyes. Nogueira. Sorry, I know I pronounced it wrong.
Nogueira.
Is Danilo here? Does not appear so. Do you want to move to hold this?
Move to hold to September 4.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Michelle St. Ong. Oh, thank you. So it's Danilo's PCR is 12719. Second attempt, Michelle St. Ong. Is Michelle here?
Motion to hold until September 4th.
Second.
Have a PCR.
Motion hold PCR 12819 until September 4th.
And you already seconded, right? Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And last we have Ms. Joyce Melton.
My name is Joyce Melton.
Hi, Miss, and we actually spoke briefly earlier. Obviously, you hit a pothole on Meadowbrook Avenue. The department's actually recommending a denial. You filled out your affidavit correctly. You submitted actually more estimates than even needed. And I know Councilman Lattiser actually has a few points on this as well. If the committee wouldn't mind letting Councilman Lattiser speak up regarding the department's statement that no potholes.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, there's a few items with this particular issue, not just on that particular street, but other streets through Ward 5. I have, in fact, notified DPW of potholes in that same neighborhood. We have a ditch that was created off the side of the road, matter of fact, right around the corner from this lady's house that has yet to be repaired. So while I don't necessarily pinpoint by a dimension or a latitude and longitude a specific pothole, potholes have been addressed in that area and on Meadowbrook Avenue. I have having an opportunity to read through the information provided here, and I noticed that the department is also taking a position that the claim wasn't filed in a timely fashion. And the reason it wasn't is because this particular car has low-profile tires, low-profile rim, and the damage to the rim wasn't noticeable right away as the tire was slowly losing air. I don't believe it was any damage to the tire, but the damage to the rim wasn't noticed until a couple of weeks later when this tire was just losing air. So Mrs. Melton at the time brought her vehicle down to have it checked, and that's when they determined that there was in fact a gouge in the rim because the tire basically bottomed out into the pothole, damaging the rim. So I would respectfully request on behalf of Mrs. Melton that given these situations, this committee would look favorably on her request and award her $300 for damages.
Yes, unfortunately, personally, I've had something similar happen where I hit something and it wasn't noticeable that any damage happened, but ended up being a slow leak that I think it took at least a month before we realized the damage had actually occurred. So I get it. It happens. There's no doubt about that. And Councilman Lattiser has pointed out that the area did in fact have potholes. Obviously, by the time the department got out there, thankfully they had been fixed, but that doesn't change that when Ms. Melton was there, there was in fact a pothole that her car was damaged by. Councilman Ricks?
I agree.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move for the approval on the claim of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You lied to me.
Well, of course, we have to. You had it in the thing.
So is that June 3rd, 2019?
Yes.
All right, so we have acceptance of minutes for June 3rd, 2019.
Motion to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And then we have minutes from June 17th, 2019.
Motion to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And unless I'm missing anything, we should be all set with public safety as of... Ah, curses.
Item number the second page.
Stand corrected. We have one outlier. We have a claim of Brendan Bovill. Is Brendan Bovill here?
Is this the second, Mr. Chairman, pardon me, Is this the second time we're having this?
It appears so.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a firm believer in advocating and being involved. If you're going to take the time to put in a claim and the... Oh, I passed it. Thank you so much. I always recommend that the person is present, and if they cannot attend, a notice is written. Madam Clerk, did you receive any letter or notice indicating that of any scheduling conflict?
I have not.
Mr. Chairman, she has claimed that she has not received, so those are the questions I had and the comments I had. Thank you.
I think that given the late time that this meeting has started, we could make an exception here. It's always possible that the person came in earlier and left. Most likely they didn't attend, since we haven't heard anything to the contrary that they were here earlier, but there's a little cost to docketing this on September 4th.
Makes sense to me. We have a motion.
If that was a motion, I'll second it.
All in favor of holding till September 4th?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so that's PCR 96-19. Now claims is all done at 9:49.
There was a committee, I believe, that we skipped. Ordinance, yes. If we could go right into ordinance. I just wanted to make an announcement. We have scheduled for tonight a presentation by Markham on the five-year plan. We just received the audit from the city about 3 weeks ago. That document was released to several of the council members that said they'd like a little bit more time. I think members of the public kind of feel the same way. They'd like to look at that report. We still have three or four committees to go. Unfortunately, we're in summer session now where we have one meeting instead of two, so it's twice as long. So I appreciate everybody being with us. But in the interest of time and questions and everybody not staying up till midnight, and considering the late hour that it is now, I think what we should do is continue that meeting, give an opportunity for everybody to look at it, including council members, and ask additional questions to give the members of the public an opportunity to do that too. And I think my council members, Councilman Lattiser.
Do you need a motion on that, Mr. President?
No. But I would just make that announcement that on the floor we'll continue, we'll release Markham tonight too, and make a motion on the continue to the next meeting, so we're not hopefully here till midnight. Thank you.
I call the Ordinance Committee at 9:52. First up is PCO 18-15, Neighborhood Improvement Program. It's not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll hold that till September 16th.
We have a motion. We have a request from the sponsor to hold to September 16th.
So moved.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next up is PCO 15-19, an ordinance in regards to health care, also not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold September 4th.
Request from the sponsor to hold to September 4th.
So moved.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I close the ordinance committee at 9:53.
Okay, this is the Intergovernmental Committee for August 19th. It is 9:55. There's one item on the agenda, and that is PCR 88-19, a resolution in support of legislation to establish an Ocean State Climate Adaption and Resilience Fund. Councilman Risk.
Request to place in the pending file.
Put in the pending file. Do we need a motion for that?
Motion per request of the sponsor to go into the PCR 88-19 to the pending file.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The Intergovernmental Committee recesses at 9:56. I don't care, whatever.
All right. City Council Committee meeting on public properties, land use, and community affairs comes to order at 9:58 p.m. We have the acceptance of minutes from the... No? Oh, thank you. One item on the agenda. This is for second passage of PCO 1419, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, 578 Greenwich Ave, Carbonato Group, LLC, petitioner. Do we have a motion?
I move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And the City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs closes at 9:59 p.m.
The Economic Development Committee is open at 10 o'clock. We only have one item, PCR 46-19, Economic Development. This is not drafted. Is Councilman Lattisaw?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I request to put that in the pending file.
The requesting to be put in the pending file. Any questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, and we're going to do acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on June 17th. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 10:01, we are closed. Thank you. Okay, just one more.